Hello, and thank you for listening to this week's podcast from our gathered services at Cross Point Church, South Orlando. We pray that God uses today's message to help fix your eyes and hearts on Christ. If you have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus, or you want to learn more about Cross Point Church, please visit us at xpoint.com. That's xpoint.com. And we pray that you enjoy today's message.
We're starting a brand new series this morning on the Psalms of Ascent. That these are 15 psalms from Psalm 120 up through Psalm 134. And what I love about the Psalms is they really lay our hearts bare before God. Right? Like there's emotion, there's feeling here that just comes before God in all of its beauty and all of its brokenness and all of its weightiness. The psalmist over and over and over again just lays his heart bare before God, saying, I'm prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, but bind my heart to you. One book I was reading this week, it's by Josh Moody. It's called The Journey to Joy. And he said this of the Psalms, that the Psalms say things that we would rarely say out loud in the church, right? But then people feel things that they would rarely say out loud in the church. But we need somewhere to go with these emotions, to inspect them in the light of God and to bring them into line with His will and His ways. This is what the Psalms do for us. John Calvin says that the Psalms are an anatomy of all the parts of the soul, for there is not an emotion of which anyone can be conscious that is not here represented as in a mirror. Right? Like the Psalms just hold our hearts before God and say, this is what I bring. But here's the thing. Sometimes do you think that emotions are good and bad? Like this is a good emotion. This is a bad emotion. And like if you were to take a piece of paper in your mind and draw a line down the middle, right? And on the left side at the top to say good emotions, okay? And on the right side to say bad emotions. And then if I were to kind of list off some of the emotions, which category would you put them on? Things like love. Where would you put that? Where would you put jealousy or joy? Where would you put anger? Where would you put sadness? But here's the reality. Emotions are not good or bad. Would we say that God has bad emotions? And yet the scripture describes God as being a jealous God. God has been angry. God has cried in grief. That the emotions are not good or bad, they just are. It's what those emotions lead us to. And that's what I pray for this morning, that as we go through this series and as we look at our hearts before God, the psalmist is writing so that we bring our hearts before God and we lay them bare. It's not good or bad, but Lord, let it lead us to worship and not to wonder. This is what it's calling for. And so these Psalms of Ascent are 15 psalms that were used. They were kind of like a songbook. God gave them to the Israelites to be sung as they journeyed from their homes to Jerusalem for one of the three festivals that God commanded in the book of Exodus. So as they're going on the journey, these were songs that were meant to be sung. This was the playlist on their phone that playing it in their headphones as they walk. This was the mixtape in the car. Like these were was the hymnal that accompanied the journey in preparing their hearts as they ascended to meet with God, because Jerusalem was the highest topographical city in all of Palestine. And so as they journeyed from their home to Jerusalem, to the city, to meet with God, they were going to be ascending the hill. And it's like, as you make this ascent, these words were called to be on their lips, that as they left the routine of their everyday life to set their eyes to Jerusalem, these were the songs that they sang. And these are the songs then that we get to sing together to continue. Eugene Peterson, in his book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, he says this, that the ascent was not only literal, but it was also a metaphor that the trip to Jerusalem acted out a life lived upward toward God, an existence that advanced from one level to another in developing maturity, what Paul described as the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. This is the call that we have. This is the ascent that we're making. This is what C.S. Lewis in his Narnia series at the end says, it's further up and further in. We're going further up and further in. This is the journey that we are going on together as we start this new series to look through the Psalms of Ascent. And I pray that what we've been studying in the weeks leading up to this, right, has been preparing our hearts for renewal. This desire to say, to meet with God, to be renewed, to have receive inner strength from the Holy Spirit, that we would comprehend the infinite magnitude of God's love, that we would understand it and experience it, that as we grow in maturity, that we would be continually filled with His fullness, all to the glory of God. This is what we've been talking about, but now the journey begins. Now the bags are packed. Now we're walking in that journey. And here's the thing, I pray that we're all pursuing this together, but I also want to encourage you to grab that suitcase that's bulging with all kinds of emotions. To pick that up for the journey. We're bringing them with us. We're not hiding them. We're not masking them. We're saying these are the emotions we have. And here's the reality. Just looking at our congregation, the survey that we sent out for this month, 1/3 of our congregation is feeling some degree of disconnection, some degree of isolation, some degree of discouragement, some degree of disunity. 1 in 3. This is the reality. Like, this is the time we live in when people are having to watch online and in person and all these changes, and it causes discouragement and feeling this sense of separation. And so some emotions that we're carrying may feel light. It feels like optimism. It feels like hope. Yes, we're going to pursue renewal together. There's other things that feel like I'm not quite comfortable. Like, these are heavy emotions. There's real brokenness. There's real discouragement that we're carrying. And what I am saying is, let's bring it all. And we're going to bring all of that and lay it before God together. And what we're going to see is, in this first track, it's not a happy song. Like, it's not one of these songs where it's like, yay, road trip, right? Like, let's just get something energetic and we're going to meet with God. No. It's a song that it feels like the chord progression is in minor key. The voice is raspy and broken. That's crying out more than just proclaimed. It's a song of brokenness. It's a song of dissatisfaction. It's a song of discontentment, of frustration, that's looking to God for deliverance. This is the first song. And so I want to encourage you, if you will, turn with me to Psalm 120. We're going to read this together and then pray and then dive in. So Psalm 120, it says this. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and He answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue, a warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree? Woe to me, that I sojourn in Meshech, and that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I made my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Let's pray. Lord, as we open your word this morning, would you open our eyes to see the beauty in your words this morning? Would it bring conviction? Would it bring comfort? Lord, let these words be on our lips as they've been on so many lips of the pilgrims who have gone before. Lord, be glorified in our time this morning. And in Jesus' name, amen. So here's the thing. What's the emotion that's being talked about here? It says, a song of distress. In my distress, I call to the Lord. What does this mean? See, distress, it literally means like confinement. Imagine being claustrophobic, right? It's to feel compressed, confined, closed in, that feeling of when the quarantine first started, right? And it feels like the walls are closing in around you, like just going outside for a little bit, making the trip to your mailbox and then coming back in. You're like, field trip, right? And you're like, I got outside. This is amazing. Now to be inside for the rest of the day. Like this sense of the frustration and anxiety, this is exactly what the word distress means. It's this sense of being confined, being tied down. When you feel uncomfortable in your own skin, have you ever had that feeling? Like sleeping with one leg out of the covers, just in case you have to make a run for it in the middle of the night? Because if they're all over you, you feel claustrophobic. This is the sense of distress. This is what the psalmist was feeling when this was written. And the question is why? Why was he feeling distress? And he said it's because of deceitful lips, of lying tongues. See, in a very literal sense, part of what he felt bound by was the slander of others against him. It's when people take a half-truth, when they take hearsay and they mix it together with their own negative perception of who you are, and they begin to spin tales in the minds of others that bind up your character in their imaginations. It's lies on the lips of those who speak with conviction but lack all wisdom and understanding. It's tongues who craft stories rather than speak the truth. And we become prisoners of these misconceptions, of these falsehoods. We become prisoners in the minds of others of which we can never escape. Right? This is what slander does. And we can all feel that at times. And we're like, I can't break free from that. Lord, would you deliver me? This is what the psalmist is crying out. Others have spoken falsehoods about me. But I'm looking to God as my deliverer. But I also think it's more than that. It's not just the lies that people have told about us, but it's also the lies that we've believed about the world that have entangled us. And there's a cultural, a broader sense that this is true as well. That there's a sense of the way that we were told the world should work, and then it doesn't. Right? Like, you think about it. We've been told that people are naturally good. They're basically nice. Left on their own, people will treat one another with respect and do what's right. But everything in our experience says that's not true. People are not naturally good. They're naturally broken. They don't naturally extend grace to someone else. They seek their own in pride for power and control and money over others. This is the way the world really works. We've been told that everyone is born equal and innocent, and yet we look around the peoples of the earth, and we realize that people are not naturally treated with justice and equality. There's injustice in the world. There's brokenness. There's seeking power, and we extend that power over others. This is the brokenness of the world. That, like, we were told, right? How many people here were told that your graduating class was going to change the world? Right, we say it in every graduating class. This is the one. Everything's going to be different. You graduated high school. Great. But the reality is that true? Like, I don't mean to be the pessimist up here, but we try to inflate things. We tell these lies to make people feel better. But after a while, we sit back and we say, the world's broken. And just giving it more time, just giving it more education, just giving it one more generation is not going to fix all that's broken. Our only hope is in Jesus. This is what the psalmist is crying out. He's like, I am tangled up in lies. Lord, deliver me. Deliver me. Eugene Peterson in his book says that the Christian consciousness begins in the painful realization that what we had assumed was the truth is in fact a lie. Did you hear that? Think of the lies that we have been told, but the Christian consciousness begins in the painful, painful realization that what we had assumed was the truth was in fact a lie. And then in a prayer of desperation, exclaimed from our lips, all we can say is, deliver me. Deliver me from these liars. They smile so sweetly, but lie through their teeth. Lord, deliver me. And here's the thing. Where do you find yourself this morning? Do you cry out like the psalmist and saying, I feel tangled in these lies. I feel like I watch the news. I read social media. I talk with friends. I see a culture, a world that is believing in lies. Do you feel a dissatisfaction, or are you just comfortably going along with everything? Because see, here's the reality. If we are going to set our eyes on God and say that I am going to ascend the hill to meet with God, I want to pursue Him, I want to be renewed, what stirs us towards that is a dissatisfaction with the world. But if you are here and you are thinking that this upcoming election, the next politician is going to solve all of our problems, you are still tangled up in lies. If you believe that everyone is basically good and going to be nice to each other if you just let them do their own thing, you are tangled up in lies. That if you feel like your own effort is going to create heaven on earth, you are tangled up in lies. If you believe that just given enough time, another generation, a new technology, and then everything's going to be better, just lift the quarantine, once COVID's over, once the panic's over, once the pandemic's over, however you want to say that, everything will be better. You are tangled up in lies. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, in Him alone. This is our hope. Our response is to cry out for deliverance. This is what the psalmist says, deliver me. Listen to what it says in verses 3 and 4. Because here, the psalmist is speaking directly to the slanderers, directly to the one who is telling the lies. And so I want you to feel his emotion. I want you to feel the angst of what's happening in his heart. Because in verse 3, he's speaking to that deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you? And what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? And then here in verse 4, he's seeking justice. Right? He's saying, a warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. See, God is being described as a warrior. Now, here's the play on words. Because remember, the Psalms are a poetry. You have to think lyrically, right, about this. In the Hebrew, the root of the word for deceit is actually to throw or to shoot something. So a deceitful tongue, it's being shot at somebody. So now you have the psalmist saying the warrior's bow is going to shoot arrows. Do you see the play on words there? It's like, okay, your tongue is shooting these falsehoods, but God is a warrior and he's going to shoot flaming arrows at you. This is the judgment that's coming on you. And not just any arrow, it's going to have burning coals, right? Burning coals attached, but not just any burning coals, from a broom tree. Now, if you're like me, when I first read that, I'm like, what does that even mean? That's weird, right? Like, is this like I'm shooting mops at people or something? Like, what exactly is a broom tree? I had no idea what it was. And so I had to look it up, and I'm like, what exactly is a broom tree, and why should I care? The interesting thing, this is why I love studying the Bible, is the interesting thing is that a broom tree, also called a juniper tree, was used often to build fires because the coals would stay hot for days after the fire went out. And so the coals would remain hot. And so can you see the psalmist? He's like, God is going to be my deliverer. He's going to shoot back. He's a warrior. He's going to shoot flaming arrows from a broom tree. This is how the judgment's going to come. It is going to be coals that last for day and days, even after the fire comes out. This is the judgment that's coming. This is the deliverance that's being cried out for, of God being our deliverer. But here's the thing. The first step toward God, the first step toward Him as our deliverer, is a step away from where we've been dwelling and in what we've been in. See, this was the first song that was being sung, that as they turn their back on the daily routine and where they'd been, as they make their journey to Jerusalem, this was the turning point. This was, we're going to see in the language coming up, I'm a sojourner. Look at what it says in verse 5. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech and that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. See, Meshech was 1,000 miles away, outside of Palestine, in Asia Minor. Kedar is actually a barbarian Bedouin tribe that was kind of on the border with Israel. They're very different locations. And what is intended in both of these is saying, I am dwelling among a people who do not fear God. I am living among a people who are not seeking God first. I'm living among a people of whom I do not belong. I'm a sojourner. I'm an alien. I'm an immigrant. I'm passing through. And yet I'm here. I mean, do you feel that at times? Do you feel like when we look at where the world is today, when we look at the hardships, when we look at the frustrations, do you have that sense of, man, I feel like I don't belong. I feel like there's something where I just don't fit, where this isn't home, because that is exactly how we are supposed to feel. This is not our home. This is not the kingdom to which we belong. This is not the kingdom we are called to build. We belong to a better kingdom, to a better home, to a better country. This is what Scripture calls us to. This is what it means. So we are sojourners here. And he says, too long have I made my dwelling here. See, I feel like some of us need to say that. Too long have I been content to go with the flow of our culture, to engage in the rhetoric of our culture, to place our hope in the false gods of our culture, and to just add God to that mix. And I pray that in this, God is stirring within you to say, no, I'm not content with that. I'm not satisfied in that. No, that is not to where I belong. I've made my dwelling too long here. It is time for me to fix my eyes on Christ, to call out for deliverance and pursue Him above and beyond everything else. That is what I am called to. That is what my life should be given toward. This is the heart of repentance. There should be a holy frustration and dissatisfaction with our broken world that leads us to worship. Like we often think, the Christian emotion, right? The good emotion is contentment. But in this case, I think the good emotion is discontentment, is frustration, is dissatisfaction with the world. That we said we are called to something better. Why am I drinking from these empty fountains when we have a holy God making himself available to us, calling us to something greater than everything we see around us? And I pray that he stirs within us this dissatisfaction, this discontentment with the world, because the nature of repentance is to turn away from one thing, to turn toward another. And so when we turn away from the lying lips and deceitful tongue of the world, we turn to God as our deliverer. And this is what we are called to. One quote said that a person has to be thoroughly disgusted with the way things are to find the motivation to set out on the Christian way. As long as we think that the next election might eliminate crime and establish justice, or another scientific breakthrough might save the environment, or another pay raise might push us over the edge of anxiety into a life of tranquility, we are not likely to risk the arduous uncertainties of the life of faith. A person has to get fed up with the ways of the world before she acquires an appetite for the world of grace. So where are you this morning? Like, I think about what it says in this proverb. I'm for peace, but I live in a land that desires war. I feel like those are accurate words for today. in what I see playing out in our culture. And the question is as a church, what will we pursue? Are you satisfied with the false saviors of this world? Or has God been stirring in you, as I pray he has, a dissatisfaction, a discontentment with it all? To say, no, my deliverer is God, and I'm focused and I am pursuing peace. I want to encourage us in response to ask this question. And I kind of want to prepare us for a time when we're going to celebrate the Lord's table. So if you want, you can go ahead and grab the elements that are on the tables in front of you. But I want to kind of take some time in reflection to this passage. Because see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we were told, and what you've often heard, is that whenever, as often as we eat of this bread and drink of the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is what is proclaimed as we celebrate the Lord's table together. But right after that, he continues and he says, whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. Here's the thing. I don't want us to come into celebrating the Lord's broken body and shed blood lightly. Let us take to heart these words. Let a person examine himself and then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And so I want to lead us in a time of personal prayer in reflection. Like today, what lies are you tempted to believe? Where do you feel tangled up? And maybe how people have spoken about you, how they perceive you. Maybe it's in things that the world says, hey, as soon as this happens, everything's going to be better. But you know deep down it's not. And so you find yourself trusting in maybe this will make it better, maybe that'll make it better. And all the while, God is standing, making himself available. He is our warrior king. He is our deliverer. And so in a time of personal repentance, would you take a few moments and ask that the Holy Spirit would bring conviction that if there are lies that you are believing or tempted to believe at this time, what are those lying lips? What are those deceitful lies that are gripping your heart, that are gripping your affections in this season? And would you lay those down at the feet of Christ? Take a few moments privately to pray. to rejoice in. That in this, we can say, Lord, here is where I feel tangled up in lies, but Lord, be my deliverance, deliver me. I want to encourage you in this moment that we can confess where we feel that we have given in, that we have dwelt for too long, when God is inviting us further up and further in. And so would you just take this time to pray and say, Lord, yes, my heart is prone to wonder, but bind my wandering heart to thee. Lord, bind my heart to yours. Lead my affections to you. Bend my heart to desire your ways. Set my eyes to my true deliverer in you. Would you just pray, and in that confession, let it lead you to flee to God. Distress, we can cry out to you for deliverance. Lord, we don't have the power or strength or fortitude to make the changes that we so desperately need. And so, Lord, we look to you as our hope, as our salvation, as our redemption, as our redeemer and deliverer. In Jesus' name. So if you will, pull the top off of the elements and take the bread. See, on that night when Jesus was gathered with his disciples, it says that Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." See, our hope is in Jesus. It was his perfect life. It was his death on the cross that paid the penalty for our sins, so that, yes, as we confess our sins, it says that we may be disciplined by God, but we will not be condemned like the world. Because Jesus took God's wrath, we do not. Instead of enemies of God, instead of condemnation, we receive forgiveness, adoption, being called his child. We are drawn in. And so after the meal, it says Jesus took the cup. And then he said, "This cup is the covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so together, as we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim Christ, life, death, and resurrection until he comes. Let's drink together. For the closing song today, it's a new song. And I know for many a new song can be hard to sing together. And so if you need, I want to encourage you just to listen to the words or sing together, because I feel like the words of this song so accurately reflect today's song, Psalm 120. We're going to be singing these words together. I'm a sinner. Right? If it's not one thing, it's another. Have you ever felt that way? Like, Lord, I'm a sinner. I sin in this way. I didn't sin in that way today, but I sin in this other way. Lord, if it's not one thing, it's another. I'm a sinner. I'm caught up in words and I'm tangled in lies. This is exactly what we've been talking about. But you, the song continues, are a savior. And you take brokenness aside and you make it beautiful. And then in a part of the song, it cries out, will you call me child when I tell you lies? See, the reality is we don't only believe lies, but we tell them ourselves. We tell them about ourselves as we project an image that we want others to see about us or how we want God to see us. And so we lie to him about who we really are. And there's this crying out, Lord, I'm a sinner. If it's not one way, it's another. I'm tangled up in lies. Will you still call me a son? Will you still call me a daughter when I lie to you? But he is our savior. He is our deliverer. And he takes brokenness aside and he makes it beautiful. So I pray that as we sing this together, whether you listen or sing, I pray that these words continue to cultivate your heart to pursuing God as your deliverance. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are our deliverer. I thank you that you take our brokenness aside and make it beautiful by your power and by your work. And so in our brokenness together, we sing and we rejoice. In Jesus' name, let's stand together.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to today's message. We pray that it was a blessing in your life. And if you do have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus or about Cross Point Church, please visit us at xpoint.com. And please feel free to subscribe to this podcast. We are updating these messages every week following our gatherings on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you and have a great week.